Goeiemôre. Dis lekker om vanoggend hier te wees. Vir wie is dit lekker om vanoggend hier te wees? Halleluja. Kom ons gee die Here hande klap. Ek wil net sê dat julle baie welkom is om vanaand se diens by te woon. So blykbaar gaan dit amazing wees. So kom kyk wat gebeur vanaand. Dit is so lekker om deel te wees van 'n familie, is dit nie? Oh, welcome stream churches. Welcome to all the churches that are watching all over the world. It's great to have you with us. It's nice to be in the family of God, isn't it? Do you feel welcome here? Do you feel loved here? I feel loved. I feel appreciated. I feel welcomed. And I just realized we, and this is not really part of the message, but I just realized that there's so much blessings and privileges as children of God that we somehow often and easily miss. And we somehow slip up in appreciating that which we have here in this church in South Africa with freedom of religion. Recently, there have been terrible reports of Christians being killed in North Iraq and running to the mountains, fleeing a radical Muslim group and them not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, and people dying because of starvation. And it's not a nice note that I'm sharing with now, but to see what they're going through, and there are many reasons why they're going through what they're going through, and we cannot blame God because there's a lot of history involved there and a lot of things that weren't necessarily done in obedience in that movement up there. But I'm sharing that for us to say, but thank you, Jesus, for what I have here. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have in South Africa. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have in this church. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have with my Christian brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus, that I know you're going to, when I fall down, you're going to lift me up. You're going to use the body to minister health, healing, and help to me. Thank you, my God. Help me to appreciate what you're doing for me on a daily basis. So I just want to just share that. That's just on my heart right now. And on that note, I also want to share something. Someone I know told me, or someone told me this story, and I was involved with this as well. But a certain man phoned the church office and said, would you please give me some hope? I have no more hope. Give me some encouragement because I'm about to commit suicide. And the person he's talking to asked him, but why do you want to commit suicide? Why do you need hope? Why are you wanting to give up on life? And this man said to him, I lost my job a few months ago. He's a Christian man in the Eastern Cape. I lost my job in a few months ago. I was a manager of a transport company, and the company closed down, and I've not managed to get a job again. And I'm in dire straits. We've had to move out of our house. Somebody luckily has moved into our house, has taken over the bond payments, but we've moved into a shack. But we can't even pay for the shack. This morning, my wife said to me, there is no food in the house. And the greatest thing that concerns me, he says to this man, he says to him, my son said to me this morning, Dad, let's give up on Jesus. Because all the bad people that don't serve Jesus are provided for. We've been praying day and night, and nobody's helping us. And he said to him, my son has not managed to go to school for a week because his shoes are broken. And he can't go with torn shoes to his school. He's a matriculant, so he stays away from school for a week because there is no money to buy new shoes or fix up the shoes. And his son says to him, Dad, let's stop praying. And the father says, and he said to that other person, I told this man, you know what? I said to him, let's not give up. And I said to my son, let's not give up. Let's keep trusting God, because God is going to come through for us despite our terrible, horrid circumstances. And so the result is somebody was contacted and asked, could we help this guy? And the guy was helped with the finances that he needed. And his son could start believing again that God loves and cares, that God will make a way. And all the finances were given that were needed. And I got information, the man received a job this week. He was phoned by a company and he got a job. And that's the body of Christ, being there for one another, helping one another, loving one another, overlooking offenses, turning the other cheek, bearing each other's burdens. That's a real, alive body church of Christ. And you and I are part of that. And we need to just wake up to that realization and live out the truth of the Word of God and the power of the Most High God. Okay, now the message. This morning's message is entitled Seek. All right, it should come up. Some years ago, we were ministering in Russia at a mission school, a church planting school. Myself and another guy were ministering in a town called Aramavir, which is in the south of Russia. And while we lecturing and sharing God's word to these potential church planters, they look at us like this. And they looked down, and I mean, it started in the beginning like that. It didn't progress as they got tired. We started off with the lecturers, and we're sharing amazing testimonies and stories of what God is doing. And all we get is this. And a nihilist verleisterni, a moedeloosheid on their facial, a real giving up spirit, no desire to listen to us attitude. And their body language just said to us, we are bored, we're not interested in listening to you. And so the third day during this training, I said to the guy that's training with me, Peter Dix, I said to him, you know what, this is not working. They're not receiving anything. It seems like there's a curtain between us and them. They're not receiving what God is wanting to give them during this time, and it's futile. We're wasting our time, and I just said, Lord, what do we do? You know, we prayed, we've been doing spiritual warfare, we've been doing many different things, and eventually the Lord said to me, but just ask Nordine to ask me what to do. I'm going to give her the key. So I went to my wife and I said, Liffy, you're going to have to help us here. The Lord says, you know what we must do to get these guys to snap out of their trance, out of their blockedness, their closedness. And she looked at me and said, what must I do? I said, well, God said, you must ask him, he'll tell you. So, we talk about pressure. So she went and she got this idea. And she said to them, all stand in a circle and start praying. And they stood in the circle and they weren't praying. They had no desire to pray. And then she said, let's sing a song. And they very not willingly started singing a song with not much passion, no desire to sing the song. And then the next moment, she walked up to a guy and she punched him in the tummy with all of her might. And he flipped down and he started bursting with laughter. Now, in the meantime, we've been praying for God's presence to pitch. We've been praying, myself and Peter and the other guys of the church, they've been praying that this curtain, hierdie sluier sal verdwyn voor hulle. This curtain will disappear in front of them. This blockage, this trance. So she punches this guy and he keels over and he starts laughing. And that laughter becomes contagious. And in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And God's joy started filling this crowd of students. And the next moment, she takes this one girl and she starts, you know, like little children hold hands and they twirl in a circle, they dance. Because this girl was really very negative, this other girl that she took with her hands. And this girl started laughing exuberantly and worshiping God and praising God. And after that, they were hungry for God's word. After that, when we said, go into the streets and share the gospel, they would go into the streets and walk to anybody and lovingly, convincingly tell them about Jesus Christ. And they led many to Christ in the town, the city of Armavir. All of this just to say, there's something about seeking and persevering in the presence of God that brings breakthrough in your and my life. Had brought breakthrough to this team of students that were not interested because there was a thing of the enemy over them that had to be broken by prophetic action. I asked Nordin, I said, where did you get these crazy ideas from? She just said, Mac, I knew I had to do it at that moment. And the chains were broken. When I've been knocked down and I've been thrown out by circumstances, when I've been pushed around, when I'm heavy laden, when I do not have strength for the next day or the next hour, what can I do? When others are harsh and there's looming disappointment that threatens to swallow me in, how do I cope? How do I cope with life's surprises, knocks, and punches? How do I stand strong, victorious in the midst of adversity? How do I overcome all that is set against you and against me? There's one primary thing that you and I lack when we struggle and we do not overcome. There's one thing that we lack. And there's one thing that you and I desperately need and should long for with all of our hearts. We should hunger and search and seek with all of our beings for this one primary thing that will help me against all the onslaught of life, all the onslaught of the enemy. There's one thing, and it's called His presence. And that's what we sang, and it's amazing, that song we sang, Your Presence is Like Heaven. The band didn't know I'm going to be preaching about that. I've asked that we sing this song many weeks ago. And there were reasons we haven't sung it, because it had to be sung today, because God knew this would be the ministry. They didn't know. And I heard later, oh, we are singing this song today. And it confirms that there's something that we as children of God need to strive after, to run after with all of our hearts, all of our passion. And that is His presence. Every day, every second of every day. There's a scripture in Psalm 16:11, and it should come up on the prompter. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I'd like you to turn to one another. Turn to one another. And then tell each other what you think the word means when it says, there are pleasures forevermore. Discuss with each other. What do you think God is saying? What are these pleasures the Lord is speaking of? right. Who would like to share what you think these pleasures are? Anybody? Peace, joy, calmness, abundance, all true. And much, much more. That's all true. And much, much more. His presence is always associated with joy. In Scripture, whenever it speaks, or mostly when it speaks of God's presence, there's joy that is implicated. There's joy that comes in. There's a joy that's the fruit of His presence. And when you think of joy, it implies, without a doubt, three very main important things. There could be more, but I'd like to focus on these three things. To have joy, you should have received some perspective in His presence. Would you agree with that? To come to a place of joy, there must have been some perspective that God has given you. To come to a place of joy in His presence, there must have been some measure of insight. Am I right? Would you agree with that? There must be some measure of insight. And to come to joy in His presence, there must be some measure of understanding when you're in His presence. So it is in His presence that we get perspective. It's in His presence that we get insight. It's in His presence that we get understanding into circumstances that face us. And there's only one thing that you take away with you home this morning is I must seek and yearn and search and strive after one thing, the presence of God. On a daily basis, on a second-by-second basis, on an hourly basis, seek His presence. It's a friend that told me he struggled with a certain temptation. And he wrestled for many, many years with this temptation. Until one day God said to him, whenever that hunger comes in your heart, whenever that desire to fall into that temptation starts to rise up within your heart and your mind, just say, help. Help me, God. And he says, every time I say the word help, suddenly God's presence is right there to drive away that temptation. Just call out, help. And there's a connection. And when you're connecting with God, it drives away anything that can impede His presence. God's presence is stronger than anything else in creation. Can I have a resounding amen? And God wants us to touch with Him, to meet with Him, to seek His presence. All right, perspective. So we get perspective, insight and understanding. Let's look at perspective. In the presence of God, the reality of God sets in. And if you want to sum up perspective in one sentence, it's the reality of God. To have perspective, godly perspective, is to realize that God is very much real and alive. And with that reality of God, His faithfulness, His kindness, His control becomes your greatest reality. You'll only get that when you're in His presence. When you're out of the presence of God, you lose the reality of God. When you're in the presence of God, you touch base with His faithfulness, His kindness, His control, and you receive inner peace, like our brother said. In His presence. It's in His presence that you receive confidence in Him. And your confidence is restored. That perspective is restored to you and me. When we're in His presence, our confidence is strengthened in Christ. We trust in Christ. We are restored in His presence. Our hope, the perspective of God, the reality of God, plucks up your and my hope. Something that seems insurmountable, impossible, becomes possible and doable when you're in His presence. Would you agree with me? When you're in His presence, the impossible becomes possible. The undoable becomes doable. The insurmountable becomes conquerable. You can conquer things in His presence more than anything else that will help you. In His presence, when we receive perspective, we become tuned into His stream. We tune into His wavelength with the perspective we receive in the presence of God. And we start behaving out of His perspective and not our own. We start behaving out of His confidence and His authority when we're in His presence. When I was in Tunisia many moons ago, and Christo was with me, Christo can vouch. Waar sit Christo? Waar sit hy heel achter? We were in Tunisia together on a prayer outreach in 1994, I think, many years ago. And what I did, whenever I did a missions outreach, I take a cassette player. Those that are younger than 30 won't know what a cassette player is. Or do you know? Am I insulting you now? You know what those cassettes are? Who hasn't seen a cassette? You. Who hasn't seen a cassette? Come on, own up. You all seen a cassette. Okay, then it's not that old in any case. So I would take all these praise and worship cassettes. With a cassette player with headphones. And I'd have it in my... And wherever I walked in the most demonic region, I'd have this music playing in my ears. And I'd be worshiping God in the most evil situations. In the most oppressive situations. And by ushering in the presence of God in those circumstances, one of the things we did in this prayer outreach, we would have to go to people and declare salvation over them in our own language. So, I don't know if Christo went with me to do that, but we were split up into teams, and we would walk up to people, and we'd say to them, in Afrikaans, in case that they understood English, ons verklaar oor jou redding in die naam van Jesus Christus. And sometimes we throw in English. We declare salvation over you in the name of Jesus Christ. And with God's presence in our hearts, we had confidence and authority about His power, about the reality who He is. And when we confess this over these people, some of them would start manifesting after their spirits heard the name of Jesus Christ. Then in the one instance, the one guy would grab his friend, we'd say, we speak salvation. They don't understand English or Afrikaans. We speak salvation over you in the name of Jesus Christ. And God would grab hold of your heart. And then his friend would start shaking. And then you see, he's talking to him. What's wrong with you? You're right. And it happened at the mention of the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the presence of God. And you know what? I believe they got saved. We couldn't communicate. We just went for a prayer outreach and we'd pray salvation. But you know what? We would not have had the boldness, the confidence, the guts if God's presence was not with us. If we weren't focusing, conscious, aspiring, hungering, eating, drinking in the presence of the Most High God. In the presence of God, our hearts become settled and we become secure in His presence. Outside the presence of God, we become insecure. We become fearful. We become unsettled. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 to 31 says the following. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective. Not many powerful. Not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world. What is viewed as nothing to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. So that no one can boast in His presence. But it is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. with him, and in him, in his presence, we are all those things. We are wise. We are chosen. We are strong. The scripture says we are significant. We are appreciated. We are something. We are righteous. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. This realization gives us joy, and it comes by one thing only. Shout it out to me. Presence. All these things come from the presence of God. Your presence is like heaven. Your presence is heaven to me. The second thing that comes from the presence of God, and that comes as a fruit, or is a fruit of joy, and to reach joy, is insight. Om insig te hê, to have insight. And there's one term that explains the word insight, and that is we see. The previous was perspective gives us the reality of God in his presence. Insight enables us to see. In his presence, we see the wood for the trees. We see the final positive outcome. Outside of his presence, you cannot see beyond your circumstances. You don't have insight out of what you're going through right now. So when you're stuck in a hole, when you're stuck in depression, when something has swallowed you in that you cannot get out of it, what do you need to do? Come into his presence. Guys, we do it too little. We are slack. I am slack in seeking God's presence, in seeking his face. Because when I start doing that, I am more than a conqueror. I get his perspective. I get his vision of the future. I get his insight of what's going to come, where he's taking me to, what are his plans for my life. Our hope is so strengthened because of prophetic eyes and prophetic understanding. Our eyes get opened. We get insight into the situation because of his presence. We were walking Romania and we were having to baptize a whole lot of gypsies. And every time they've tried to baptize these gypsies that came to Christ, it would start raining, there'd be lightning, there'd be sometimes hail. Every Saturday for the last 4 weeks, they tried to baptize these gypsies and all hell would break loose in nature. So we decide this, I just arrived there, prayed together, and they said, should we baptize? And we decided, okay, let's go and baptize. Let's try again this Saturday. And so that Saturday, we started walking with all these students down, and the mentors, the Bible school students, were the gypsies they led to Christ. There were a whole lot of them. We walked down to the Danube River in Romania, and it was clear sky. Clear sky. And the next moment, these dark clouds came out of nowhere. And as we're walking, suddenly it starts pouring torrential rain. And there's lightning, and it's chaotic. And they say, what are we going to do? Are we going to turn back again? It's the fifth weekend. We just cannot get to baptize these people. And we prayed, and God gave us sight. He gave us insight. And he said, it's going to change. Keep persevering. Don't give up. The weather's going to shape. Keep praying. Keep trusting me. And the more we prayed, the more it rained. What do most of us do when that happens? We give up. We just knew God in his presence gave us insight. We were on site and we had insight. We had prophetic vision. We could see that God's going to come through because he was seeking. While it's raining, we're just praying in tongues and praying in every language thinkable. The Romanians in Romania, the Gypsies in blah, 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 who are all praying in different languages. And as we walked, suddenly, the clouds parted. It got worse and then it stopped. The clouds parted. The sun shone brightly on us. A rainbow came out. And by the time we reached, we had to walk a long distance. By the time we reached the river banks, we were all dry. There was no more lightning. There was no more danger. And we could baptize those gypsies. Because in his presence, we received insight. We received hope. We received perspective. We received prophetic insight and understanding. In his presence, we receive strategy to reach an amicable breakthrough. In his presence, I want to say this again. In his presence, we receive insight that gives us strategy how to handle a tough situation. Have you experienced that? That you get in his presence. Myself and another pastor were called out many years ago in Kempton Park. And what had happened is, the wife was hiding in her room and she phoned this pastor. He was her pastor. I was just for another region and he asked me to help. She phoned him and she said to him, listen, please come. My husband is intoxicated and he's taken his pistol out and he's threatening to shoot himself and to shoot me. So now we're praying like crazy while we're driving there and we're seeking God's presence. We're saying, Lord, help us. Give us a breakthrough. Give us insight into the situation. And we arrive there, and we first stand at the outside wall, the front wall. There's the house. Here's the pathway to the house, the green grass. And we're thinking, now, what are we going to go there? So eventually we walk, we check. Is he looking through the window? Because he's got a pistol. And he's threatened to kill her and to kill himself. And so we're walking down the pathway, and eventually we stand just before the steps and but it's a raised house. So there's this wall and the window's up there. So we're standing right by the front wall beneath the front window of the front of the house. And here's steps going to the front door. So we're like kind of hiding underneath the window. We're scared he's going to see us because he might shoot us. So we start praying, really pressing into the presence of God and saying, Lord, what are we going to do here? How are we going to sort? And clearly, I felt, and I said to the other guy, the other pastor, I said, he's not going to do anything. Let's go in. Let's go into the house. And in his presence, God gave us a solution. The solution was not nice to hear. The solution was very dangerous. So I walk up the stairs and I go through the front door. And when I look, the other pastor was standing on the perimeter wall again. He'd run all the way out. So I say, come. No. Go into the sitting room. And I've been fearful as well. And other guys have been brave. This was just, I connected well enough with God. And God just gave me an answer there. Walk in. And before him is a stable covered with different liquors and his pistol there. And he's, what mark you lead? And he picked up the wrist pistol and I said, no. God loves you. We're not here to judge you. I want to help you. I want to say there is hope. There is hope for your life. There is hope for your wife. There is hope for your circumstances. You must believe. Because look, if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. And we just spoke hope and he became calm. Eventually the other guy came. He came into the house. And the situation could be resolved. But it could only be resolved by one thing that we had to do. We had to enter the presence of God. Because in his presence, we have insight. And that insight helps us to come to an amicable breakthrough. An answer, a solution, viewing, prophetic utterance. Psalm 73, verses 22. The psalmist is speaking, and we can have that verse come up. The psalmist is speaking in this whole verse about people that lack insight and that are standing outside of his presence. This whole psalm is about people that are not pressing into the presence of God. They lack insight, and how we find insight and understanding in God's presence. So this psalm, verses 22, says, I was ignorant and lacked insight. I was senseless as an animal before you. So he's talking about God's people that are not pressing in, not finding His presence, not seeking His presence, and they lose all perspective. They lose all insight, prophetic vision. They lose it all. And they go, look at Psalm 73, verse 17. He comes to the solution. And we can have it quickly on the teleprompter. Psalm 73, verse 17. You got it? All right. Let's quickly get it. It should be on the... It says, then one day I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I thought about the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path. He goes into the presence of God. He goes into the sanctuary of the Lord. And in His presence, he receives insight. In His presence, he sees. But even though it seems as if the wicked are prospering, God will give a breakthrough. God will make a way despite the seeming prosperity of the wicked. He receives that because he's in the sanctuary of God. He gets understanding and he gets insight. The third thing that we get from His presence is understanding. And one term that explains understanding is big picture. Perspective means the reality of God sets in His presence. Insight means we see the way God sees, the way God perceives. Understanding is big picture. We get His understanding, His big picture. If we go look at Daniel 9, verses 20 to 22, if you can put that up for us. It says there, now while I was speaking, now Daniel's busy speaking, he's praying and confessing his sin. What is he busy doing? When you speak, pray, and confess your sin, you are entering the presence of God. So while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, I present my supplication. That's all seeking, being in the presence of God for the holy mountain of my God, the man Gabriel, we can continue, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. So he gives him understanding in the presence of God. God says, you're seeking my presence. I send a messenger to give you understanding, to give you the big picture. Daniel speaking, praying, confessing, presenting supplication before the Lord, that is seeking His presence. And then God sends understanding. It's in His presence, and that it's in the present and in the future that Gabriel speaks to him. Gabriel gives him insight. And it's also in God's presence that an angel appears to us. You want an angel to appear? Enter the presence of God. And more important than an angel is the presence of God itself. In the seeking, in the praying, in the confessing, the supplication, and in the wrestling, God's presence pitches up through the presence of Gabriel. It's in the wrestling with God that we receive understanding. Nothing that is of any real value comes easy. Have you experienced that? Anything that has any significant value comes with a wrestle, comes with a fight. So nothing that is of any real value comes easy. How much more does God's understanding and intimacy take effort from our part, from our side? We understand in the presence of God, we receive understanding why we are going through what we are going through. You don't have understanding for the pain, the ridicule, the rejection, the joy, the pleasure. Why I'm so happy now. You don't have any understanding unless you're in the presence of God. In the presence of God, we receive answers to hard questions. How many of you received answers to hard questions in the presence of God? Raise your hand. Seek the presence of God and God will pitch up with amazing answers to very tough questions. Questions that have been unanswered receive insightful and mind-blowing response. Colossians 1 verse 9, quickly look at that. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For this reason, we don't cease praying. To not stop ceasing praying is to be in the presence of God. And they don't stop ceasing in praying because they want to receive understanding. And they receive understanding and God's will and wisdom and spiritual understanding when the questions that have been asked in the presence of God, God gives you an answer. But He wants you to make an effort. He wants you to put in more effort than ever before. When did Jesus give those amazing answers to those very tough questions that the Pharisees gave Him? He gave it when they were in His presence. That's when Christ speaks. Wanneer jy die moeite doen om by hom uit te kom. Wanneer jy streef en soek. When you strive and seek. When you make an effort to enter His glorious presence. Jesus gave mind-blowing answers when they were in His presence. I want to read the following to us. What must God do and allow to happen before we are honest, sincere, truthful about ourselves in His presence and before Him? What must God do and allow? What must happen before He really gets our undivided attention and devotion? Before He gets our unadulterated ear and hearing? What must happen before God gets that absolute attention from you and from me? Ephesians 4:18. Let's read it together. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. These people, because of the way they live, had no understanding, had no perspective, and are alienated from God. They're refusing to respond to the love of God. In the scripture, Paul is warning the Christians, you and I. He says, don't become like them. Do not allow sin to so swallow you up that you become alienated from God. The church is in danger, he says, of becoming like them because of a sinful lifestyle. Because we lose touch with God and we lose our understanding and even become wicked and evil in our understanding. That happens when we stop connecting with God. We stop seeking His presence with all of our hearts, all of our minds. And I read this as well. Where we are really willing to mean business with Him. When are we really willing to mean business with Him? Where we become vulnerable and emotionally, spiritually naked before the Lord. When you allow yourself to become vulnerable, spiritually naked before your God, that's when you say, God, I'm wanting to mean business with you. I want to connect. I want to touch you. I want to enter your presence. Where we wrestle with our God in His presence, where we connect in intensity, absolute sincerity, and genuine heart-to-heart talk and wrestle. That's the place of presence. That's the place of being connected with our Most High God. It happens so fast for me and for you that we become detached from God. Have you experienced a lot of detachment from God the last week? Raise your hand. I see those hands. Happens so easy, we become detached from God. Our Savior, our Father, the one who dearly loves us more than any other. We become detached when we start running after activities, things, pleasures, worries, and ambitions. They can cause us to detach from our God. Have you met people who put on a facade, a plastic veneer on their faces, their smiles? They never let go of the facade. They always want to present themselves as in control, everything is all right. At all costs, they put on the facade. Have you met somebody like that? Do you know somebody? Have you prayed for people like that? Am I maybe one of them, or you maybe one of them, that put on a facade of everything is always all right? It's so easy to become like that in our relationship with God. To always put on a facade with the Lord, everything is okay, and never to connect. We allow plasticness to enter our seeking after His presence. And we don't enter anymore. We don't seek. We don't hunger. We don't strive. We lose our connection and our groundedness to the Most High God in seeking His presence. Listen to the next illustration. We're nearly finished. It's like being in a house. The house is yours. You're in this beautiful mansion, beautiful house. And there's one room whose door is always pulled shut. And once you saw, when you opened that door, you saw unthinkable treasure in that room. You saw unspeakable jewels. A treasure cove of a king is in that room. And you closed the door again. And for years, day after day, after that, you walk past the room, you dare not open. For some or other reason, you never open that door. And your present situation is you don't have food in the house. You're starving. You're hungry. But you never think of opening that door and taking some of the jewels to have a big feast. That's what we sit with on a daily basis, available to us, and we never partake. Or we do occasionally partake, but we don't constantly partake of the treasure cove that God has available for you and for me by entering His presence. There's a room full of treasure. The guy just walks past it every day. He never opens the door. He just carries on. And he's busy starving. He's spiritually starving. He's emotionally weak. He's broken. He's downtrodden. He's struggling. But he never enters the presence of God. Because it's in His presence that we get perspective. It's in His presence that we get insight. It's in His presence that we get understanding. It's in His presence that absolute victory pitches up at our doorstep. We get the reality of God with His perspective. We see with His insight. And we get the big picture with His understanding. That doesn't happen outside the presence of God. It doesn't happen by keeping that door shut in your life. You need to open the door and take the jewels available for you and for me. And those jewels is entering His presence. In His presence, there truly is fullness of joy and victory. You and I must seek the presence of God on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. We must earth like an earth wire in a house. We must earth ourselves to Him and be real with Him, connecting with our Heavenly Father. There's always another level of intimacy of His presence that God is calling you and me to enter into. Let's close our eyes. Is there any of you that are saying this morning, God, I hunger after this presence, and I've neglected to seek after your presence. I've walked past that door, and I've not opened it up. I've not taken for me to eat, for me to have a feast with you. Any of you that feel that, stand up right now. God, I've walked past that door. I've not taken jewels out. I've not eaten. I've neglected you, Dad. There are more people. Come on, be honest. Stand up. Not seek your presence as I should. I've allowed other things to drown me out. I've allowed other things to push your glory out. I'm sorry, my Jesus. But I'd like us all to pray together. Lord Jesus, I'd like us all to pray with the people standing. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning just as I am. Lord, never let go of me. Lord, pull me to yourself. Never give up on me. Make it impossible for me to neglect you. Make it possible for me. Make it my passionate cry to seek, to yearn, to hunger after you. You're my God. You're my King. No more plastic. No more walking past the door. This morning, I commit to touch you every second of every day. Remind me, God, to seek, to yearn your presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, that you never give up on me. Lord, let me be known as a person that seeks your presence in Jesus' name. Lord, so that I can receive your understanding, your insight, your perspective in all of my breath. In Jesus' name, I exalt you. Amen. I'd like us to sing this song, Your Presence is Heaven. And some of you might just want to pray while the band is singing it. But let's just pour out our hearts now. It's between you and God. Sing in your hearts with Him or sing with your mouths. Celebrate the truth of this song and choose to make it your reality. From now on. And after we've sung it, we are going to be up front for any of you that want some prayer regarding anything. The rest of you can go have coffee. But let's first sing the song together. It's a confession from our hearts. Forget about the person next to you. It's from you to the Lord.